this person is smiling at me. No, you're gonna see a face of skull. Like, you're gonna see that face. Like, you know, it's a skeleton. But she's beautiful. She is the goddess of death, and you must respect her.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. Thank you guys so much for listening. And if you haven't checked out our brand new podcast, Deadly Diocese, where we investigate the mysterious death of a Catholic priest, you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. It launched this past week. We'll include a trailer at the end of this episode as well, but it's a wild story that I hope you listen to, because the more ears we have on it, the better chance we have to get justice for Father Joe. I thought, because it's Christmas today when we're recording, that it was a good time to show the positive elements of a saint, worshipped by millions of people. And I just thought that was a better way to lead into the complex world of Santa Muerte, before going into the negative spin on her, and its link to narco culture and cult-like ritualistic killings, which we will do next week in this two-part series on Santa Muerte. Because she is not just worshipped by dangerous drug lords like it's portrayed in the media. She is so much more to so many people. Which is why I will also not be ascribing a sin until next week. And next week, it gets kind of keep you up at night scary, so I'm easing into it with this one. She is instead a source of comfort for millions of people, as she provides a protective, non-judgmental, amoral, motherly power that, especially to the Mexican culture, has picked them up and gotten them through their hardest days. She's also a source of encouragement, almost in the vein of a self-help or life coach, but far less corny. She stays with the people who believe, and she lets them know, as long as they stick with her, their life is meant for great things. I found this truly awesome as I've been researching. This version of Santa Muerte, I just love that she's not judgmental, meaning her followers even offer her their drink of choice at her altar, a pack of smokes, sometimes cocaine, which is not great, but that's more for the second part on the Bony Lady, as she is also affectionately called. But more than just being a god of non-judgment, she's a combustible blend of acceptance and at the same time a rock for people struggling with substance abuse issues to stay on the right path. She's a place for a mother worried about her child to pray to. She also, in some cases, shows up in people's darkest hour to be a mother figure, like in the case of my friend, Fur. Now, that's not his real name. We are using his initials for privacy. When I decided I was going to cover Santa Muerte, I was halfway through my research when I realized, oh, Fur is from Mexico and is a very spiritual person. And man, just the sweetest kid. He's not a kid, though. He's a full-grown man, but we have sort of adopted him as a kid. We watch out for and take care of, and he does the same for us. In fact, he affectionately calls Greg and I mom and dad. And nothing makes me happier than when I get to send him home with meals for the next few days. I'm trying to fatten him up. I'm good at that. Apparently, I'm the only person who's been able to put weight on my skinny husband, Greg. His coaches tried in high school, his family when he was growing up. Nothing worked. And he was also eating pizza rolls every day and McDonald's when he was a single man alone in LA. And that didn't fatten him up. I would be a Christmas ham if I ate like that. But he could never put on a pound until he met me. And my Italian side kicked in, and also my preference for putting a ton of butter on everything. Seriously, I actually get embarrassed if people see me cooking, and I basically put on a trench coat and cover the stove as I'm adding a stick of butter to something so they won't be too horrified. Healthy, maybe not. Happy? Yeah. Good meal? 100%. Okay, I'm done with my long tangent story, but it just shows that, like, I really, really love this kid. And I was not surprised when I texted him after researching Santa Muerte that he wrote back immediately and said he's been with her since he was 4. And then the text flooded in, pictures of drawings of her, stories of her guidance in his times of need. And I just knew I had to interview him for this podcast. So main sources for this episode are my friend's firsthand perspective and the comprehensive book by Andrew Chestnut called Devoted to Death. So in this episode, you'll hear how the bony lady helps the lonely, the ignored, the down and out, and makes them feel protected and empowered. And I think that's the best way to first learn about her before next week's episode, where we will learn that bad people are just that. Bad. And they will find any outlet to justify their sinister deeds. It happens in any religion. I don't think I need to tell you how many times in history religions have killed in the name of their God. This is Santa Muerte, and my friend's personal story weaved in through learning the basics of what some call a religion, some a cult, some even a gang. But in my opinion, if she's helping you for good, you worship whatever gets you through the night, my friends.
You know, you start getting these visions in my head. That's where it began with, because I was 4 years old when she first visited me. Because she actually, like, you know, told me that, you know, do this and do this right, and I'll guarantee you this. And that's where I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this and do that right, so I can see if she's actually being for reals about this, you know? And that's when actually it came to me where I was like, yo, she's for real. She's actually like helping me. She's guiding me towards this, and she's guiding me towards greatness. But it was crazy because I've only seen her in my dreams when I was 4. I didn't know who she was. I didn't know what she was or who she, you know, like how I said, like who she was. But then I started like getting like a visual of her in my dreams when I seen her. And as I would keep getting those dreams because of what I've been through and all this shit, like my mom and my stepdad fighting, I would sleep under my bed for 2 days straight, literally. I would only go out to eat and go back under the bed, literally in the carpet, and sleep there. And it was crazy because when I started having those dreams, she was just so, like, she was so, perfectly described in my dreams. And I'm never going to forget that, because to this day I have a picture of her in my journal of how I saw her in my dreams. And I have this journal right here right now. And Rachel's seen it too. Well, my mom and my stepdad were always fighting because of our financial wise, that we weren't going to make rent, you know, like we weren't going to have the money for rent's pay and for that month. I would always see them fighting, and they pissed me off. Like, I always had so much anger as a little kid. Like, I want to do something, but I can't. I'm a little kid, you know? And it was, like, that's when I feel like she came to me, because she's like, I can guide you towards success. And that's what she does. About her, like, honestly, I didn't know who she was. I didn't know what she was, you know? It was just so crazy when it came to me, because I had so much anger. But when I had that dream under my bed when I was a little kid, after like living under my bed with my mom and her and my stepdad, it was crazy because they were arguing so much. I was just like so pissed off, and I would sleep under my bed. And when that first night, I'm never going to forget that. That's when she visited me, because I was like a little kid in a dream, like crying in a corner. But then someone grabs you on like on the shoulder, you know, like someone trying to like, hey, you're going to be okay, you know. But as you turn around, that person that you see touching your shoulder, you know, it was her. It's like, you're not going to expect a pleasant, warm welcome knowing that, like, oh, this person is smiling at me. No, you're going to see a face of skull. Like, you're going to see that face, like, you know, it's a skeleton. But she's beautiful. And it was just so crazy when I saw that. Like, it was, I'm never going to forget that as a little kid, you know. That scars a kid. Like, they're going to be like, oh, my God, I saw. Like, I saw that shit as a kid. I think I'm going to die. No. She was so nice. I will never forget that. She told me that you're going to make it. You're going to be something big. And I will never let anything happen to you. And I feel like that's why I'm out here to this day. After all my near-death experiences, after everything, I've always seen her at the very end, and she's always been there for me, and I'm always going to respect her, no matter what, because she's always the one like, hey, it's not your time. She is the goddess of death, and you must respect her no matter what. If you even say her name, pray that you're here, you know, because she will literally, and she's shown me that she will literally, like, bring you back. When it's not your time, because you have so much potential, you have so much worth in your life. You know, you've been through so much shit that's not gonna mean that doesn't matter anything, because you're gonna be something at the very end, and your worth is gonna shine brighter than what you stand for. And I will never forget that, what she has taught me and what she's put me through, because she's made me realize who I actually am. And that shows a lot.
Some people become devotees on their own initiative, actively seeking out Santa Muerte upon the recommendation of friends or family members. But others receive an unexpected call or visit from the Skinny Lady, another one of her many nicknames. In this call, she offers to solve their problems.
Well, as a little kid, you gotta understand, I didn't start speaking any language. My first language was Spanish, but I didn't start speaking until I was 4 years old. So that put me in a tough spot, like with going to church, with, you know, like going back and forth with good and evil. So that put me in the middle spot. And being there, I think that's where she contacted me. It's like, you're not alone. You have me. And she showed me, because at that point, I didn't have anyone. That was before my little sister was born, you know, and shit like that. I didn't have a sister. I didn't have anybody at that time. It was just me, being a single child. So it just put me in a state of mind where I had to go to myself and envision myself. Dude, I'm like 4 years old. What the fuck am I doing, you know? I'm not even 10. I'm not even 20. And that shit got to me. So being alone, that's where I started having the dreams and where she visited me. And after she visited me, like, it just went on from there. But I think that's what attracted her to me. Because she honestly will protect you. Like I have it written on my notes. Like, she's a healing. She's a protector. She just literally... It's like someone comes up to you, it's like, hey, you're going to be okay. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be okay. And like, you're in a corner crying. But, how I said it, like, someone's grabbing you by the shoulder and you turn around and you expect it to be like your mom or dad, you know, when you have them in the picture. But I turn around and that's what I said. I was like, you see a figure of just like a skeleton, but she's braided. Like, she has hair. A skeleton figure. She's braided, but she has clothes. She has shit. Like, she's dressing like a woman. You know what I'm saying? Because I was going to say that after when I finished the story about being 4 years old, but I'm going through my timeline with her. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, but like, as a little kid, like, I experienced that, and that's where I got strong with her. And I kept going through the years, you know, like, going through... elementary, junior high, high school, you know, I'm a little white Hispanic. So a lot of people are going to see me like, oh, this little white kid, you know, why is he talking like this? Why is he acting like this? But I'm actually a true Mexican. And I got bullied so much. Like, I've been through so much shit. And but she's always gave me hope. Like, she's been around since the Aztecs, and the Aztecs are strong motherfuckers. Those people don't give up. Look at what they constructed. Look at what they built. You know, that's where it all starts from. That's where she was built from. Because if you talk about la Santísima Muerte, ella comenzó con el Día de los Muertes. You know, like she started off with the Day of the Dead, and that's where they constructed her. In the early 70s, 80s, like they, if I'm not mistaken about if on my timeline, in the 20th century, they constructed her. They got a skeletal, you know, they got a skeleton of a female body, and they gave her hairs. Everybody took off their own hair, and they constructed that together and pieced off a full body, and that's where she came along, and that's where the concept of the Santa Muerte comes from. But how I was telling you, Rachel, you know, like she's a embodiment of peacefulness, of gratefulness. She can accomplish you things that you thought you weren't capable of. She's gonna bring you peace. She's gonna bring you successfulness. She's gonna bring you well. You know, like etc. It goes on. Like she'll bring you so much potentialness into your life that you thought you could have never accomplished. And it's just crazy that people misunderstand it to this day because of the cartels. The cartels are what putting out that bad name for her, obviously. But obviously, you have good cartels, too. You can't think of a cartel and be like, oh, they're so bad, they're evil. No, they are not. Some cartels are good. They even give back to the communities, but they're doing it because they don't want to work a 9-to-5. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to be stuck with what society has brought them upon to being, you know, they want to be more. And I feel like that's what she is. She is just a god that if you worship her, she's going to bring you what you desire, what you dream of, and what you can accomplish. If you could keep moving, she will show you the way, and she will guarantee you 110%. I'm not bullshitting. She has shown me so much potential in my life that makes me who I am to this day. And I'm not giving up. I will not give up on what she has brought to me. She is so amazing. She is honestly, truly astonishing. Like, truly. Most people underestimate her. She's so bad. Oh, she's related to the devil. No, she is not. Well, I was crying myself to sleep. My mom being bitch slapped by my stepfather, you know, that wasn't nice to see, and I couldn't do anything. So as soon as I'm crying myself to sleep, I'm already in my state of mind where I'm sleeping, supposedly, you know, and you're having these hallucinations, as they call it, dreams, and it was just, it was so vivid to me. It was like I'm having a lucid dream or astral projecting. And it was, I'm never going to forget that. Like how I said, I'm in the corner crying. But like someone comes up to me. I have her picture drawn out as I've shown you on my little journal. Rachel's seen it. Greg's seen it. You know, like I have that picture drawn out perfect. And it's so crazy that I can still remember her to this day. I was 4 years old. And she's right there. That picture.
Tell me what you saw.
She just told me what I said. Everything's going to be okay. You trust me, you're with me. If you're with me, that chose me. So stick with me, and I will guarantee you, you're going to be okay. And she just puts her hand out. Like, I grab her hand. Her hand is just skeleton, dude. We're humans. Like, you know what I'm saying? I grab her hand in my dream. It's a skeleton hand. I grab the finger because my hands were so small at that age. You know what I'm saying? I'm 4 years old. I grab that hand and I grabbed her finger because I couldn't grab her whole hand. I couldn't shake her in the hand like a gentleman. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I had to grab her hand. I'm never going to forget that. After that, we just walk off and we're in darkness. And she showed me how to stay strong in the darkest times of your life. After that, I swear, I woke up underneath my bed. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck who you are or what you're going to tell me. Like, she showed me that. She gave me strength, honestly. She made me so strong. And if it wasn't for her, to this day, I wouldn't be able to talk the way I talk. Because she was the only one I would be able to, like, I was so happy to go to sleep when I was a little kid. Because I would see her. And we communicated so well. My mom was always arguing with her stepdad. But she was so always there for me. She was just something. And that's what made me start believing. But it's just sad the way people put it to this day that it's like, oh, it's all cartel related, it's all this. Well, it's not. It's not. Honestly, people think of that. But when you actually sit down and know where she came from, what she generated from, where she were, you know, the way she was created, it was not off of cartels. It's not satanic. It's none of that. It was all gods. It's like you have your Greek mythologies. You have Zeus. You have all that. You are not gonna tell me that she is bad when she is just a god. She is a goddess of us Hispanics, us Latinos, what we come from. You know, she is amazing. She is just trying to bring protection, just love, you know, all that stuff. It's just wealthiness, healthiness, just trying to live a better life. After that night, I became stronger. After that night, just how I said, I woke up, I was never the same. I started treating people way differently. Because I told them, if I'm going to be under my bed, I've been here for 2 days. My mom doesn't even give a fuck about that. Like, she just told me one time. She just told me one time a day. A day is 24 hours. But after that, it was just, like, so crazy, dude. It was like, that's what made me strong, her. After she visited my dreams, she told me, don't give a fuck what people tell you. And that's where actually it started going. And I was always happy to go to sleep because I would see her.
Santa Muerte even serves as a mother figure for some of her spiritual children. And this seems to be the case with my friend.
As soon as she came into my life, it was a pick-me-up. It was like, you're in the corner. It's like, if I see you in the corner, I'll pick you up like this. The same way she picked me up. It's like, literally like this. Like, my mannerisms. Look at my mannerisms. It's like, I'll pick you up from the corner like that. If I see you down, I want you up. Basically, that's how it was for her. And after that, it just went straight forward onto that. In school, in everything, like I was doing so good because of my mindset. That's what she taught me. She taught me it's all in the head. She's like, okay, you're fighting. You're seeing your mom and her fuck whatever that guy is to her. You know what I'm saying? It's like he's not my dad. I've never had my dad, and it was crazy seeing them clash. And that's after she visited me. After that night, I will never forget waking up out of my bed. I got out of my bed. I was like, yo, fuck this. What the fuck am I doing? You know what I'm saying? I know my worth. And that's what makes me to this day. Because I know what I stand for and what I've done in my past. Well, ever since that visit, honestly, I can say this. That she has truly changed the way I've seen stuff in life. Like the way I what's it called? Just the way I go on with life and stuff. It's like after that visit, she just truly picked me up. She actually made me realize like, yo, you are not alone. You are capable of this. You can accomplish this. Stick with me and I can show you what you can accomplish and we will do this together. I will never forget, but it's in Spanish, like the way she's talking to me. So I could say it in Spanish too.
Para mi gente que está escuchando aquí en español, lo primero que ella me dijo, nunca me voy a olvidar de eso. El momento que me tocó, que me volteó y que me dijo, Fer, Tú vas a hacer algo en esta vida. Tú no estás solo. Lo vamos a hacer juntos. Cree en mí. Sigue en mí. Y vamos a hacer algo muy importante, muy bueno en esta vida. Y lo vamos a hacer. Nunca me voy a olvidar de esas palabras que ella me ha dicho. Que ella me dijo en ese momento que yo estuve en mi muy bajo. You know, eso me cambió demasiado. Después de eso, me cambió mucho. Y nunca ha sido lo mismo, la verdad. He cambiado sobre muchas cosas, claro, pero ya después de eso.
I told Rachel this story too. With my grandma, I would never forget that. Like, rest in peace to my uncle. He died at 24, but like he has shown shit. Like we've all been with her. I told my grandma too. Like this, I opened up to my grandma when I was 16. Yeah, 16 years old. And that takes it back a good years for me. And I opened up to my grandma, and this was when my uncle was alive. But what's it called? She's real, and this is the story that I will never forget. She hid the keys because me and my uncle sat 8 hours in our garage on the house that we were renting in the corner. I still know that house to this day. We sat there in that garage for 8 hours, like 6 to 8 hours, packing with bundles of, you know, of smokes. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we sat there, and he had to go drive. After we finished packing that car, we had 8 hours of a drive up north because we're from the very south. We're from the border. We had an 8-hour drive up north, passing the checkpoints with the border patrols, and it's like, we had an 8-hour drive just to get to where we are from. You know, I'm like 16 years old, 14 years old, around that age. And I'm never going to forget that because of the argument that us three had. Like my uncle, my grandma, me and my uncle worshipped her so much because we're, you know, drug related shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, we sat there looking for the keys because like we finished doing what we had to do. But we sat there looking for the keys. But she will literally move shit for you in life where she doesn't want you doing it. She doesn't want you going out. She doesn't want you to put yourself out and get fucking busted, okay. You know? Me and my uncle, we had a shipment that we had to go through. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, we had to get, we got that shit ready. We did what we had to do. And by the time the end comes, it's like we're looking for the keys to drive that vehicle up north and just proceed on with us doing good. The keys were never found. The keys couldn't be found. It's like I told him the keys were right there. I looked at my uncle and my grandma. I was like, the keys were right here. If they were right here, they would have been here. I'm never going to forget that day. Like, that day is just so planted in my head so vividly. It was honestly something because my grandma and my uncle were just going back and forth, arguing, like, yo, like, if the keys were here, like I could say it in Spanish. Like, I could literally, like, translate it for you. Like, the way they were just arguing, it was like cuss words. It was like back and forth, just like, yo, you know, and It was just something. And he was arguing at me too, telling me shit. But I was like, you gotta understand, man. She is moving things for us so you don't go out. And he didn't want to believe it because he's like, he was just so frustrated that he was looking for the keys and he couldn't find them. And it frustrated him. But I was like, dude, she's doing things. La Santa Muerte is doing our shit because she doesn't want you to go out and go get fucking trapped. And little do we know, 5 hours that day, that shit was a bust. We would have fucking been locked up. I would have been deported. You would have been locked up. I would have been in juvie. You know, shit like that. It was like, yo, because the Santa Muerte moves things, dude. She will guide you because, like, we want protection. Yeah, it was a setup. We couldn't find the keys. And then we look at the news, a house got raided. Our house. I was like, yo.
It's weird, I guess, to end a story of my friend who was a literal child at the time, running drugs with his grandma and uncle, but let's be raw. Life is hard. Especially in Mexico, and people do what they have to do to survive. He's a good kid. His grandma essentially raised him. She loved him. He's pure to the bone, and a 180-degree difference from what we will discuss next week. Dangerous, violent cartels. Not the ones Fernando was defending, but people that have taken Santa Muerte and twisted her into a god that feeds their animalistic desires, their escalating violence, and gluttony in every aspect of their lives. With that, I hope you guys are having a very happy holiday season in whatever you like to celebrate. And I know I'm excited to tie on the fee bag and spend some time with my family right now. But first, it was also nice to spend time with my podcast family. So thank you guys so much for listening. There wouldn't be a show without you. And I am so grateful for you. And I hope you find comfort in whatever way helps you during a time that can be very hard for so many and stressful and sometimes a distraction of, well, this is my distraction. Greg bought me the Encyclopedia of Serial Killers for Christmas, so after a wholesome meal with family, I know what I'm reading as I fall asleep tonight. But we are all true crime weirdos together, so I don't think you're judging me. Just like Santa Muerte wouldn't judge me. Love you all. Bye.
My dad was told by the former commissioner, Duranda, that they botched the case up. And they did. I mean, they didn't do anything that they were supposed to do. They didn't fingerprint. They didn't do ballistics.
Opening up the casket, everybody kind of peered into it all at once and said, no gun.
Everyone in the police department took advantage of him.
But that still doesn't make any sense. What did the cops put in his casket?
The way you stay alive is to watch your mirrors.
He loaned the cops money?
Mm-hmm. When I removed some of the stitching and peeled back and pulled the skull cap off, there was no brain.
I've worked for a Catholic institution for 12 years of my life, worst 12 years of my life. Still dream about it every night, of the abuse. I'm serious. I mean, I've seen so many things.
From the creators of Seven Deadly Sinners comes a podcast investigating a true cold case, the death of a priest, and the deadly diocese that has been covering up abuse for years. A gay mafia, corrupt cops, and a network of evil priests eroding the foundation of the oldest churches on earth.
He talked about the abuse, he talked about the embezzlement. Anything that would prove that this was a homicide, they didn't look at. And that was because of
the police, with certain very influential Italian families in Buffalo.
I think Joe, unfortunately, became emotional over this, and he activated the killer.
He couldn't have pulled the trigger.